Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's so nice to see so many faces in the church. This is just, it's fantastic. I have an issue with this gospel lesson. And the issue I have with this gospel lesson is stems out of a time and something that happened to me when I was 8 years old. Yeah, 8 years old. This is a long time ago. 8 years old in 1984. In California during the summer, it was the time of the Olympic Games. They were happening in LA, so they were really close. And my parents, well, I should say my dad, he would do this thing every summer, and this was kind of our vacation. He's a pastor, but during the summer, he would become a chaplain at a couple of state parks in Santa Barbara, El Capitan and Refugio. And there is that summer, we happened to be at Refugio. We were there for, I don't know, six, eight weeks, something like that, during the summertime. It's when the Olympics happened. And it came to be known that the torchbearer, the person who was running the torch, was going to be running past our camp. And I was so excited to see that happen. Okay, so I had all of this grandeur, just this heavily muscled athletic hero, you know, running down the highway at full speed with this amazing torch in his hand, and I was just so excited to see that happen. So excited. The night came, the evening came, and he was going to be running down Highway 1. And so we all went up there. Everyone had their little American flags, and they were setting up their chairs along the road, along the highway. It was shut down, of course, because the runner was going to be coming by soon. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And it seemed like, you know, 10 minutes in a situation like that could seem like 10 years to an 8-year-old who's excited. And I had forgotten my American flag to wave. And that bothered me. And so I was like, Mom, I got to go get it. She said, no, don't go get it. Just stay here. Here, you can have my flag. No, I don't want your flag. I want my flag. 8-year-olds, right? Yeah. I said, I don't want your flag. I want my flag. And on and on and on and on. And then finally I said, I'm going to go. And she said, don't you go. Don't you go. You know how moms will say that when I tested her. And I said, I'm going to go. And I ran. And I ran all the way through the front part of the campground to the back where our campsite was. And I was rummaging through my stuff, and I found my flag, and I was running all the way back, and I got there, and he had passed. He ran by. I was so bummed out. So bummed out. I had missed this moment that was so spectacular. And my brother and my sisters, they all got to see it. And they were all excited and said, wow, it was so amazing. It's too bad you didn't get to see it. You know? It was. It's a fantastically horrible memory. And you know, this gospel lesson before us just reminds me of it so much. When it comes up, I think of that moment in my life where I missed something so important to me. Really, it's almost a once-in-a-lifetime experience that the Olympic Games are so close to where you live and where you're at, and you have the opportunity to be a part of it in some small way. And back then, in my life, the Olympics were a big deal. It was a summer-long celebration. And so it just kind of emphasized the amount of loss I experienced that night. I was so upset. I was so upset. So I look at this gospel lesson, and I think to myself, what's the point of it? Yeah, I understand that we are on our way. We're ramping up to the Advent season where we expectantly await the return of the Lord, the coming of Jesus and his return. We are anxiously awaiting that. That's what Advent is all about, and it's almost here. And so we see these these lessons of the second coming of Jesus and the kingdom parables of Jesus describing what the kingdom of God is like and what it's going to be like, judgment day and all that stuff, all that fun stuff that Lutherans just don't like to talk about. It's the truth. We don't. And we have this one parable before us this morning of the bridesmaids, the foolish ones and the wise ones. Now, I definitely fell under the foolish category as an 8-year-old, okay? But what's interesting to me is that, you know, the distractions of life really affect how much we get out of our relationship with God. The everyday things that happen to you in your life that so easily distract you from your relationship with God, those things tend to take over, and those things tend to become your focus. What were the bridesmaids distracted with in this gospel lesson? What were they distracted with? What was their biggest distraction? You got to talk louder than that. Not having enough oil, yeah. The biggest distraction were those pesky oil lamps and not having enough oil. Some had some and didn't want to share, right? We see that. And they're called the wise ones. They weren't sharing their wealth. Where's the stewardship sermon in that? You know? It's so compounded. And the foolish ones, they were distracted with their lamps as well because they didn't have enough oil. Now, the question I have is, why did they even need lamps? Why did they need those distractions that just kind of kept their eyes off of the prize? And what are the distractions in my life that is keeping my attention away from God, away from Jesus? I don't know how much time you guys have this morning, but I could really list them out, you know, and we'd be here for a number of weeks. It's the truth, because we all have major distractions in our life. For a while, it was my car. It kept breaking. I hate it when my car breaks, and I hate it when I can't fix it myself, right? Like when it's something deep in the transmission, and they say, oh, I can't look at that. And they say, you need to take that to a transmission specialist. And I say, oh, great. It's time for a new car, right? That's when that comes. You know, I get distracted. It became something that was kind of running my life and running my emotions. Okay? It took away my focus from where it was supposed to be, which was in trusting that God was going to take care of me. How many of you have experienced that? You get so distracted with something that seems huge, but is so small. And it takes your focus away from the fact that God promises to take care of us. The past number of weeks, I've been talking about living our lives from a place of abundance, trusting in God's promises, trusting that God is going to bring us through these difficult times in life and difficult situations, rather than living our lives from a place of scarcity and fear. It just brings about anxiety and worry. I find myself slipping back into that place often. Just this morning, I shared with you that early in the morning, sometimes around 5 o'clock or between 4:30 and 5:30, my brain starts to wake up and I start to think about all of these problems I have in my life, and it starts to spiral and spin, and I say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have enough for that bill. How am I going to get this one paid? Blah, 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 right? To the point where I'm trying to go back to sleep, but I can't, because my brain is keeping me up. because I'm trying to process and think, and then I get up and I say, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. The anxiety is killing me. How am I going to get this done? And then I remember that God promises to take care. God promises to provide. And then it starts over again. Moving from that place of scarcity into the place of abundance. Moving from that place of doubt into that place of trust. I'm sorry, I keep going to you guys as like the place of scarcity and doubt. It's nothing personal, I promise you. I'll try to switch it up. It's just I'm right-handed and then whatever. Okay? You know, it's important to keep aware of the distractions that we have in our lives, whether they're anxieties or fears, or whether it's, you know, a project that I have to do for work or for school. Keep track of these things and understand that they aren't the totality of our life. That Jesus holds a place that is larger than any of those things, any of those problems you might be experiencing. Jesus can handle them. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be truthful. And only answer if you want to. And the way you're going to answer is by raising your hand. How many of you here today have ever been mad at God? Raise your hands. Thank you for being honest and truthful, because you know what? It's a serious thing. And you know what? You know what else? Being angry at God is okay. God is big enough to handle your anger. God is big enough to handle my anger. God is big enough to handle my issues. God is big enough to handle your issues. God is big enough to handle the issues of the church, of the world, of this creation. God can handle it. And when we start to inflate our issues, our problems, to the point to where we think God won't be able to handle it, so why should I even talk to him about it? When things start to go downhill, we need to remember that God is so big and God is so loving that all of those things have already been taken care of in your life. We just have to remember that. We just have to remember that Jesus is keeping his promises. And what are the promises that Jesus has given us? You're confident, say it out loud. Promises of Jesus that he will walk with us, right? That Jesus will love us. That Jesus will never leave us. That Jesus will provide for us. That's the one I always forget. What else? That Jesus will forgive us. That Jesus will love us unconditionally. That whatever we do in life, or whatever we have done in the past, whatever we might do in the future, Jesus will forgive us. And Jesus will love us. Jesus will love you. Jesus loves you. It's the whole reason Jesus did what he did on the cross. Jesus assures us of his love. So what does this have to do with the bridesmaids? What? No, no, you don't.
No, I said you better tell us.
Oh, I better tell you. Shoot, I thought you had some brilliant answer. I honestly did. I honestly did. You know, what this tells us is the bridesmaids, they were distracted by things in their life. And while those who were really distracted and not focused on the bridegroom, who is Jesus, the others who were distracted as well, they just weren't as distracted. they were able to keep sight that Jesus was coming and that Jesus, the promises that Jesus has given us. I have all these notes. When I prepare a sermon, I jot notes all over my paper. You see that? You can see that's kind of a picture of my brain. All right, it goes all over the place, and you never know where it's going to go at what moment. It's rather distracting. It also tells us that we, and you know, I kind of discussed with the kids this morning, that we are to be seeking Jesus. That we understand his promises, we understand that he loves us, and we are to seek out relationship with him. Just like the bridesmaids were doing in this passage. They were seeking, they were waiting, although they all fell asleep, waiting for the groomsmen to come. They were still waiting. Some were prepared, some weren't, you know. And we are to be seeking Jesus as well. And where do we seek Jesus? Where do you find Jesus? Where do we find Jesus? Jesus is within all of us. We know that. Jesus is also within those who need to hear a word of healing, a word of hope. People who need to understand that Jesus, that God loves them. That means those who have been cast out by society. You know, those who are on the streets, those who are sleeping in the bushes, those who are really overlooked by society today. Those are the ones that, you know, that's where Jesus is. Who did Jesus minister to? He ministered, what's that? Wow. The poor, the hungry, the destitute, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. Yeah, tax collectors weren't liked then either. Okay. Yeah, Jesus ministered to the people who society considered to be sinful, whom society considered not needing of love. Jesus also ministered to the kids. Back then, children weren't really, they were looked upon as property, but they weren't really looked upon as people. Jesus said, no, that's why the disciples wanted to keep them away. And Jesus said, no, bring them, bring the kids to me. These are, you know, the kingdom of God belongs to them. Right? Jesus wants us to reach out, to take that message of love, to take that message of peace to those who need it. Including us, including ourselves. How many of you consider that you need a reminder every day of God's love? I do. I tend to forget, and then I tend to kick myself. I don't know if you guys do the same, okay? But being in a community of God, a community of Christ, in a community like this where we can kind of remind each other that, yeah, God has our backs, that Jesus loves us, that in a place where we can maybe vent our frustrations about life, in a place where we can encourage one another when we get down, where we can lift each other up. When a church becomes a place where you begin to tear each other down, of God might not be there anymore. Community of Christ builds each other up. We edify one another. We love each other. And we take that out to the world. So I guess you could ask yourself, which of the bridesmaids are you in this moment? Are you the one who is distracted, but looking, seeking, waiting? Are you the one who is, or are you the one who is distracted and, well, that's about it. My guess is that if you're listening to me this morning, you're the first. You might be distracted with thoughts of your life and things going on in your life and what you're going to do for lunch, right? Those little distractions, that's what it is, right? And I see some laughing faces, which I know now that you were thinking about lunch. You know, probably that's who you are. You're seeking God, and you want to learn about his love, and you want to be a part of a community, and you're still distracted with life. And it's this struggle that we go through. It's this cyclical thing. We come here to remember. We come here to worship. We come here to lift each other up, hold each other in prayer. We come here to seek. Now, the question is, and I'm going to leave you with this question, how do we take that message out there?